I struck the board and cried no more. Those words are the first line of a poem written by the 17th century Anglican priest and poet whom we are celebrating today. His name is George Herbert, and the poem is called The Collar. The board he strikes means table, as in the phrase room and board. Families used to lay boards across trestles to create dining tables. The table in the church, however, is the Lord's table, the communion table. It is shocking to think of a priest striking the holy table. But Herbert was angry. The title of The Collar literally refers to a priestly collar, but also to other kinds of collars used to restrain, like a dog collar or a slave collar. Herbert is raging against the strictures of his life as a priest, plus the limitations of rural life. He is longing for freedom and keeps telling himself to leave, to live the life he wants. Quote, "Forsake thy cage, recover all thy sigh-blown age on double pleasures. He that forbears to suit and serve his need deserves his load." But then, at the end of the poem, he says, "But as I raved and grew more fierce and wild, methought I heard God calling, child. And I replied, my Lord." One word from God, and he remembers why he became a priest and decides to stay. Herbert was born into a wealthy aristocratic family on the border between England and Wales. He was a brilliant scholar, and at the age of 27, was elected as public orator of Cambridge University, which involved giving speeches representing the university at the court of King James. He also became a member of Parliament. By his mid-30s, he was poised for a prominent political career, which could have brought him fame, wealth, power, and honors. But he gave it all up, gave up his secular ambitions to be ordained as an Anglican priest and to go and serve in a tiny rural parish 75 miles from London, a long way on horseback. It was a lot to give up. He loved culture and music, the intellectual pleasures of London, and the pomp and glitter of the court. Indeed, another poem called The Pearl speaks of his love of learning, of wit and mirth, of pleasure and sensuality, of all the joys that London affords, but he gladly gives them up for, quote, the pearl of great price, which is the humble service of God. He dedicated all his abilities to God. Rather than orations at court, he gave sermons to illiterate farmers in a tiny church in a small country village of Bemerton. Rather than concerts in London, he walked several miles twice a week to Salisbury Cathedral to join the choir singing evensong, playing his lute and violin as accompaniment. "It is my heaven on earth," he said. My husband and I visited his church, the smallest church we'd seen at the time. It was hard to find, located on a little triangle of land between two modern roads, across from a cricket field. This was before the days of GPS. We couldn't even get in. We had to find the home of the old caretaker who lent us the church key. It was so small, but so moving. Herbert really personified humility. He read morning and evening prayer every day in his church, encouraging the congregation to join him when possible, or at least to pause in their work to join their prayers with his when they heard him ringing the bell. He also embodied compassion. He had unfailing care for his parishioners, providing food and clothing for the poor, traveling miles to remote farms to comfort the sick, bringing them the sacraments. He even helped to repair the church building with his own money. His spontaneous generosity and goodwill won him the affection of all his parishioners. He tended his flock and served as a good example, even writing a tract that is still used today on how to be a good country parson. Herbert had been writing poetry since he was a teenager. He once told his mother, "My poor poetic ability shall be entirely and forever consecrated to God." His poems trace his own spiritual progress, a picture, as he said, of the many spiritual conflicts that have passed between God and my soul before I could subject to my will to the will of Jesus. We can see this clearly in The Collar. Shortly before he died of tuberculosis at age 39, he collected his poems into a little book he called The Temple. He sent the manuscript to his friend, Nicholas Ferrer, who lived at Little Gidding. You may know that name from T.S. Eliot's Four Quartets, asking Ferrer to publish them, but only if Ferrer thought they might be of help to any dejected souls. If Ferrer did not think them valuable, Herbert said, just burn them. Needless to say, Ferrer published them, and the poems have been helping many a dejected soul through difficult times for 400 years now. Amen.